creation. Anyway, so new creation realities, lesson 6. I believe last week it was about the body. So yay, you all understand that you are not necessarily just your body. But lesson 6, so revision here, we've got the 5 senses are very limited in their scope and they're not a reliable source of information. Remember, that's what we see and hear and feel. Not that reliable, okay? Because yesterday I didn't feel that good. Wasn't reliable. That's not the truth, okay? And today I feel entirely different, but it was because I pressed through in the spirit, amen? Not reliable source of information. God made the human body, it is the temple of the Holy Ghost, so that he could live on the inside of his creation. Again, I think that's absolutely marvelous. Only the human spirit receives the life of God at salvation. The soul and the body are not saved, and don't we know it? I can testify that from yesterday, my soul did not act like it was being saved yesterday, all right? Neither are they to be referred to as part of the new creation. So once again, the new creation is the spirit man. And who you see before you this evening, yes, I'm in the spirit man and my flesh is now under control. Oh, happy days. Yeah, husband's rejoicing. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, so let's go into the works of the flesh. Let us begin this lesson by taking a look at the works that the flesh is capable of producing. I thought about this earlier. I thought, man, we didn't even need to go in the scripture. I could just say, hands up. Tell me, what do you think the works of the flesh are? And you could all testify. I'm sure you've all tasted of the works of the flesh, but we will go along and we'll have a look at the word of God. So we're really reading first from Galatians chapter 5, 19 to 21. And in the workbook, it's in the Amplified. So I'm going to read that, and then I'm also going to read it out of the New King James Version, just because sometimes particular words have a hook in that we can actually relate to more than other words, okay, because the English language is a vast language. Okay, so here we are in the Amplified. Now, the doings, that's the practices of the flesh, are clear. They're quite obvious. They are immorality, impurity, indecency, idolatry. Again, idolatry is anything that you would be an object of worship. You might even just be idolizing a football team, or you could be idolizing your place of employment and putting that before the Lord. Idolatry, okay, it's not necessarily you doing little war dances around some little totem pole or, you know, any of that. It can be anything that you are worshipping, loving above God. Amen, that's idolatry. Sorcery, again, sorcery is magicians and wizards. Have a look in the world around about you. Have a look at the movies. Have a look at the books. A lot of them these days, and aimed at children, have got things in them to do with magic and wizardry, and it's all sorcery, and we're not to be a part of it. It is a part of the works of the flesh. Enmity, that's hatred, strife, jealousy, anger, ill temper, okay, bad temper. It's just a work of the flesh. Amen? Selfishness, divisions, dissensions, and dissensions again is disagreements. Party spirits, that's sex with particular opinions and heresies. Envy, drunkenness, carousing or carousing. And carousing is lively drinking parties. Yay, who used to know what they were like? And I say the word used to, all right? If you're doing it now, come and see me later. We'll have an extra after school lesson. Okay, so those are just getting you more and more into the lust of the flesh. Going to those parties, one thing leads to another, and it's not good. I warn you beforehand, just as I did previously, that those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, we need to explain that. That doesn't mean to say that if you do these things and get involved in the lust of the flesh, it doesn't mean to say you're not going to eternity with God. It doesn't mean that. It means you will not inherit the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is righteousness, which is right standing with God, peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. All right? So if you have not got that, if you've not got that peace of mind and you're not operating in that joy, have a little thermometer check. Check your attitude out. Like me yesterday, yay, attitude check, quite obvious. Mm-hmm. Yeah, bad attitude. Okay, have a look, go through these lists. Think, am I being envious towards someone? Have I got a bad temper towards someone at the moment that I'm angry with them, I'm not talking to them? whether that's not talking to them for 5 minutes or 5 hours or 5 days. That's a work of the flesh. Am I being selfish right now? And selfishness, it's not so much like some big thing. We can be selfish with a smile on the dial. No, I can't do that for you. I can't mow your lawns. I'm busy right now. Which really, you don't want to mow their lawns. You're selfish. You want to just go home and sit and put your feet up and watch a movie. You're just being selfish. So we need to check ourselves out, because the Bible says that we're to walk in love. And I know love is hard. Love is the direct opposite of selfishness. Amen? And one way, you know, like if you want to get your selfishness knocked out of you, go and work with children. All right? Go and work with children. Or, you know, like at the moment, it's great. We kind of have a whole lot of time to ourselves because we have no grandchildren. Once grandchildren come along, we're on grandparent duties for babysitting. It could be even up to a week. And that's when I'm going to have to not be so selfish. I got to share again, all right? It's all about sharing and caring. So have a look at your selfishness monitor, all right? Because if we're operating that, we're not going to have that joy of the Lord, and we're not going to have that peace of mind. We're just not. It's a law in operation, okay? So that's what the kingdom of God is. That's what we want to inherit. I want to inherit the kingdom of God. So, for example, yesterday I was just acting selfish. I want to go back to the Gold Coast. I don't want to live on Tuhu Avenue. I don't want to live down the street. Oh, holier than thou pride attitude. I'm like, I want to live somewhere beautiful, Lord, which is nice. That's nice. That's nice. But at the same time, God has sent me there. It's all about the calling. It's all about the anointing. It's all about the sacrifice. Love sacrifices. It's no longer I that live, but it's Christ who lives in me. So I had to just get my little thermometer and swing it back over here into God's love. Amen? And now I'm good to go. I'm good to go. So if I have to do a thermometer check, you do too. We all do. Amen? So now I've got my peace back. I've got my joy back. And happy wife, happy life. Amen, Dan? Amen. Okay, so definition of the flesh. The flesh is a combination of the unrenewed parts of the soul and the physical body. Amen. We all know what parts we're still getting renewed in, okay? And at times, you know, I love the Holy Spirit. He's such a gentleman. Like, he doesn't expose us, you know. I expose myself because it goes in line with the teaching. But he's such a gentleman. He wouldn't have put the spotlight on me, and he should have seen her yesterday. Yeah, right. You know, and hubby would not necessarily have got up and says, oh, my God, yesterday I wanted to leave home. He wouldn't have done that, okay? Holy Spirit's a beautiful gentleman. He's a gentleman, and he wants us. He works on us. It's just day by day, line upon line, precept upon precept, and it's loving. He woos us, okay? It's not dictatorship. Like, you better hurry up and change, and hurry up and change now. Otherwise, you might as well leave the church. No, it's beautiful, it's gentle, it's loving. He woos us. He woos us just like Jesus woos the bride of Christ. Amen? So it's all a wooing. So we don't get uptight. We don't get into works and think, I have to change in this area and that area. And, oh, my gosh, it's too much. I'm not even going to get out of bed today. No, it's just gentle. And it's like one day at a time. And it's one little thing at a time. And the Holy Spirit helps us. Amen. He helps us. We're not on our own. I can't do this on my own. I can't do it on my own. But the Holy Spirit, He helps us. He's sent to help us. Amen. Let's have a look at another new creation reality. Now, for many Christians, they believe that after they become born again, their problems are over. But the reality is they are just beginning. Isn't that funny? Because you know what happens? We get born again. And we realize the life we lived before, we actually don't fit. And then we see some Christians who are like ahead of us, and we think, man, I don't even fit there. I'm like in between now, you know. And then we develop, because we get light and we get revelation, we develop a conscience. For example, I was 21 and I committed my life to Christ. Prior to that, I thought, how am I going to give up dancing? I love dancing in the nightclubs. I used to love dancing till 3 in the morning. I got high as a kite on dancing. I didn't even need alcohol because I was just getting high as a kite on that. I thought, how am I going to give up dancing, Lord? How am I going to stop going to the nightclubs? Well, it was quite simple. I gave my life to Christ, and I went on a week later, I went to the nightclub on the Sunday night, and I just went down there thinking, yeah, I'll have a little look. I went in there, and I could see what it was. I developed a conscience. I developed a sensitivity to sin. I was evicted out of my old lifestyle. I went in there and I thought, oh, it's Sin City. They're all in here, get it, lick it up. And at the end of the night, this one's going to go home with that one. And you know what happens next? I'm like, that's what it is. I ran. I had to get out of there. I left at midnight. And that was the days of my nightclubbing were over. And that's how I stopped going to nightclubs, because I had the light. I had a revelation. I have a, oh, I don't belong there anymore. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? But the proof of the pudding was in the eating. I went and tested it, all right? Amen. And I can vouch. We're evicted out of one lifestyle. We don't belong. And we're growing into our new lives as new creations in Christ Jesus. And we're growing in love. Amen. And it's beautiful. Growing in the Spirit. Remember I said last time, to walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And walking in the Spirit is not holier than thou, floating, you know, from prophetic utterance to prophetic utterance. Walking in the Spirit is walking like Jesus, walking in the fruit of the Spirit of love, peace, joy, long-suffering, goodness. Hey, get used to long-suffering. You're always going to be operating in long-suffering till Jesus comes, okay? So just get used to it. One thing will change. Yeah. Turn around. Oh, Jesus. Something else is going on. It's because the fruit of love is long-suffering. Amen? Imagine the Father right now. Poor, he's long-suffering with this planet. I don't know why. It's like, man, earthquake? Is that all you got? I mean, one time he flooded the earth. He was that fed up with it. The sin. But thank God for Jesus. Thank God for the rainbow. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Wow. Wow, so he's long-suffering, amen? So if he's long-suffering with planet Earth, we can be long-suffering with other people, because God's love empowers us to do so, amen? Long-suffering, it's a good one. Just get used to it, all right? It's never going to go away. Our pastor in Scotland used to say, you'll only exchange one set of problems for another. Get used to it. Get used to it. One mountain will be conquered, and then woohoo, and then next minute, oh, it's going down to another valley, all right? God's a good teacher. He's a good teacher. He always teaches us through the lessons of life, amen? If we have an ear to hear, we hear what the Spirit of God is teaching us every day in life. Like I learned a valuable lesson yesterday. I should have, like, immediately in the morning got together with some believers, help me pray this through, rather than, you know, kind of wore it myself all day, you know. So I learned a valuable lesson. I thought, that wasn't just my soul not being happy about being home. That was an attack of the enemy, okay. I learned a lesson yesterday. I thought, onto it. Yeah, got your number, devil. I'll be ready next time I have to come back home. I will be ready, amen. Okay, so while we were sinners, we came totally under the influence of the God of this world. There was no conflict in our lives, but the minute we became new creations, all that changed. Amen? There's a conflict between doing the right thing and not doing the right thing, all right? And some you win, some you lose. But the wonderful thing about it is the more that you choose to do the right thing, and remember, the right thing is not necessarily how you feel at that moment. The right thing is when you use self-control and you do the right thing, like you be patient, you hold your tongue, despite the fact you want to let your mouth run off. Doing the right thing. You know, you want to almost go, you know, like swipe your little kids because they're doing wrong. Oh, you can't do that. That's illegal for a start. Doing the right thing, okay? And the more we exercise doing the right thing, it becomes a habit. We retrain ourselves. It becomes a habit, like automatic pilot. Automatic pilot is when we act and react and it becomes natural, just like brushing your teeth. You've not got a parent standing over you now saying, go brush your teeth. But they said that to us over and over again until suddenly we're brushing our teeth. And so the Holy Spirit training. You'll hear the words of eternity. You'll hear the words come back to you of the teaching. And you go, wow, yeah. And we pause and we have a choice. And if we choose to do the right thing, we grow that muscle in that area. We grow that muscle of love. We grow that muscle of self-control. We grow that muscle of patience. If we give into the flesh and go for a ride on the flesh, well, if we sow to the flesh, we reap of the flesh corruption. Okay, it's not healthy. It's not good. you know, in our early years of marriage, we were growing gracefully in the Lord, you know. And again, I've said it before, but our early years of marriage, and you get heated, you're under pressure, you know, and I'd throw a snowball of unkind, heated, escalated in the tone of voice words to hubby, and, well, just like ping pong, he'd throw that back. And then the voices would get louder, and before you know it, you know, there's like some kind of screaming match going on. This is in our early 20s, right? We don't do that now. Thank you, God. You know, but that didn't prove anything. All that did was then you're in your corner and you're in your corner, and then nobody's talking to anybody, are they? And what did that resolve? Nothing. Nothing. It made it more awkward. It made life more difficult. But as we grew in love, okay, right, yeah, great, self-control. Someone's got to zip the lip. Someone's got to go and say, I'm sorry, please forgive me. And immediately. Even if you get, well, you're always sorry. It's okay. I'm sorry, please forgive me. Because we want to get back in right standing with God. We want to get back with that peace. We want to get back with that joy. We want to get back so that we can be that shining light for Jesus. Because again, if you're operating in selfishness, how can Jesus use you? Because even if at times you're saying the right words, people pick up our spirit. You know, we can be at church and, oh, yeah, kia ora, hello, hallelujah, praise the Lord, love you, brother. But if you've got hatred or resentment in your heart towards your spouse or your child or another person, that's coming out of your spirit, man, and that is speaking volumes. So you may be saying the right words, but your channel of love is blocked up like a blocked vacuum cleaner, all right? Nothing is coming through. We're to be spirit, soul, and body in tune with God's love so that when we hug people or hug the lost, or, for example, my daughter for 3 weeks, you know, she's fallen out with the Lord. She did 7 years ago, so she ain't talking to Jesus at the moment, but he's talking to her. So when I go into her home, I'm not allowed to pray in tongues or, put on Christian programs or play praise and worship music. What I do is I love her and I hug her, and all the way I'm hugging her and I'm thinking, get on her, God. You know, I'm laying hands on. All right. I'm doing it with wisdom. And I'm loving her and I'm blessing her and I'm buying things for her and I'm loving her, loving her, loving her. And the kingdom of God is loving her, loving her, loving her, not judging. Not judging. Loving, loving, loving. And she don't know it. I go away and all of a sudden she'll be missing mum, but she'll be missing the love of God flowing through mum to her. And I have to keep doing that. We keep on doing it year after year because we want the kingdom of God to come to our daughter, amen, or to those that are in your sphere of influence that are unsaved. Okay, Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. We are not our own boss anymore. Amen? Before we came to Christ, yeah, we were the boss. We did what we wanted to do. Yeah, we suffered the consequences, but we were still our own boss. We were on our little throne doing our own thing. But now we've come to Jesus, and there's someone else that should be on the throne of our life, and that's Jesus. He is our Lord and Savior. We committed our lives to Christ, and we said, Jesus, I want to make you my Lord, not my part-time bestie. Show up when I need you. My Lord. It's a lordship where we are not our own. We need to be surrendering to Jesus on a daily basis. And like I said, I love it. Holy Spirit's our helper. Amen. If I need him, you need him too. Amen. Now, a second dimension has opened up to us, a realm where Jesus is Lord. And so being the battle for lordship between, one, the throne of Satan, which is the soul. So, basically, that means that Satan uses that solical realm to push and prod us. Amen? Just for example, yesterday. In the solical realm, I wasn't happy to be back from the Gold Coast. I was missing my daughter. The weather was beautiful over there. It was great. I was just on holiday. It was fantastic. And the enemy used that against me, okay? He used that against me. And I had a little tussle going on. I had to resist him. I had to resist him. And in the end, because I had some help in the spirit, thank God for brothers that pray, He fled from me. Amen. But I had to resist him. I had a choice. I could have stayed in my little attitude and said to hubby, no, I don't want Joe coming over, getting some prayer. We'll sort it out ourselves. Yeah, ourselves. We would have got nowhere. So thank you, God. He saw that SOS flag go up and he answered that call. But mainly, you know why? Because he loved me. And he said, I want to free her from the snare of the fowler. I love her. And I'm going to send this lifeline. And the lifeline was in the form of Joe. He doesn't even know. He knows now. He knows now. He just thought, yeah, I'll go around there and get some prayer with these lovely old spiritual ones. He didn't know he was coming into the middle of a domestic. Now, the domestic, nothing to do with Danny, just because I was having a domestic in my flesh, okay? I was having a domestic with myself, all right? And it was just getting all around about me. And the throne of Christ, that's our spirit, okay? So that's the throne of our heart, the spirit man. Okay, so Paul spoke of this conflict in his own life, stating that a tremendous battle was going on within him for the rulership of his being. Okay, now we're going to read in Romans chapter 7, a few of the verses. For what I am doing, I do not understand. That was me yesterday. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. That was me yesterday. What I hate, that I do. That was me yesterday. Man, I was throwing my tools out the cot. But now it is no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells in me. Yesterday, selfishness, bad attitude, carnality, was having a party. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now, it sounds confusing, doesn't it? But again, it's the spirit versus the soul. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight, that's I the new creation reality, I the spirit man, I the one created in God's image. I delight in the law of God, that's the law of love, according to the inward man. Amen. So he was talking about his wrestle between his spirit man and his carnal, soulical, unrenewed mind, flesh having a tantrum man. Okay, it was even going on with the Apostle Paul. And he worked miracles. He worked signs and wonders. He was powerful. Powerful, the Apostle Paul, anointed of God, wrote all these beautiful letters to the churches, which we read today. Okay, so nobody gets exempt from wrestling on occasion with their unrenewed carnal mind. Amen. It's a journey. It's a journey. We're all on it together, okay? We must grow spiritually. New Christians who have little or no knowledge of God's word are still in babyhood. Babyhood stage of spiritual growth, and as such, from time to time, they can act like babies. That's when you first get born again, all right? You're in that spiritual stage of growth and you can act like babies, all right? So characteristics of babyhood. Now, sometimes they can be cute and sometimes they're not so cute. Okay, so number one is innocence. They have a teachable attitude, just like a little children, a child. It's wonderful. You can teach them things, they believe it, and they say, yeah, I'll do that, yeah. Because you know, how come, you know, that sometimes with adults, it's hard to teach old dogs new tricks, amen? Sometimes us adults can, like, we know it all, you know? I've heard it all before, okay? That's an attitude problem. But babyhood, teachable, innocent, very beautiful, just like little kiddies. But on the second point, they can be ignorant, not discerning. They can lack knowledge. Okay, and some of the things they can do can be funny, and other times it's not so funny. All right, it's not so funny. They fall out with someone and they disappear from church for 4 weeks and cue the pastors. The pastors have to go and find them and nurture them and talk for hours and try and make up this one with that one and bridge the gap, and it's time consuming. It's time consuming with Christians that are in their babyhood stage. Right? And they can be irritable. They can be selfish, spoiled, center of attention. And that's not so good either. You know, if you've got lots of children, you've got one of them that likes to be the center of attention. If they're not the center of attention, they're misbehaving. They're acting like sport brats. you know, oh, well, if you don't do this for me, I'm not coming to serve in the cafe, Pastor. I'm not coming because you didn't take me to the girly trip through to Whakatane in your car. So I'm offended like that, and I'm not even going to church for 3 weeks. I'll show them. That's irritability. That's babyhood stage. That's carnality. And that goes on because we're just growing in Christ. And we bring our weaknesses of our carnal attitude from our past life. You know, we're still working through them. And we have to grow up spiritually. And it's not the pastor's responsibility to make you grow up. It's not even God's. He clearly says, work out your own salvation with fear, reverence, and trembling. It's up to you to do your studying, do your homework, and you do it. We're not standing there with a bat over your head, day in and day out, and you're about to open your big mouth to say some ugly words to someone. We're not there going, don't do it, or you're going to get that big bash over your head. We're not there. Neither is God. He's not there with that either. That's not his nature. It's up to us. We have to do the hard yards. Just like any top athlete that goes to the Olympics and wins the gold, swimmers are up, they're swimming early in the morning, and then they go and do, you know, whether it's their education, university, or their employment, and then they're back in that pool doing the hard yards at night. Why? So they can win the gold. They're a cut above someone else. So the degree that you seek God, the degree that you worship him, the degree that you pray and learn this and speak the scriptures and do your homework, do your due diligence, that's the degree that you're going to grow in Christ. Amen? We're not born with a silver spoon in our mouth in the kingdom of God. Oh, she's holier than thou because she's favored of God. Look at her. No. Dan and I, we did the hard yards. We did the hard yards, pressing into God morning, noon, and night, doing what we can do. Amen. And then we grew in Christ. It takes hard work growing. Just like bodybuilding, it's hard work to get to competition level. You've got to put those weights on. You've got to eat the right food with bodybuilding. You've got to press past the pain. You've got to get up and do it every day, despite how you're feeling. So growing in Christ is hard work. Doesn't come natural. That your natural carnal man doesn't want. He wants to be on the throne. If it feels good, do it. And who knows your feelings? Like mine yesterday. Oh, happy days. Not happy days. Not happy days yesterday. Happy today. Why? Because it's not happiness, it's joy. I'm back into the joy. Amen? And the fruit of joy is happiness. Happiness has nothing to do with circumstances. Happiness is a result that comes because of the joy of the Lord being my strength. So I'm happy to be home now. Yay, I'm happy. How many days did it take? A few days? And it probably helped that I was coming here tonight. Better get your stuff together, girlfriend. Pick up your spirit. They'll pick up if you and him is out of sync. They'll know. So thank you. Thank you for having me tonight. It helped me get back on track. Amen. Yeah, there's nothing like having to show up somewhere to get yourself to behave yourself. Okay, now 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. The key to spiritual growth is the word of God. Amen? Can't do it without the word of God. I emphasize that. Can't do it without the word of God. Can't do it. I confess every day the fruit of the Spirit. I thank God every day. I'm walking in the fruit of the Spirit of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, kindness, meekness, gentleness, self-control, and against such there is no law. I confess it every day. I tell it every single day how you're going to behave. Every day. And I prophesy my future with the spoken word of God coming through my mouth. Remember, your words are creative. Life and death in the power of the tongue. So if you're not pressing in by being creative with the word of God about your future, something else will take over. Other people's words, other people's actions towards you, or your flesh, it will just take over. And that's nothing to do with the devil. He's out there too, all right? So we need to every single day, like Danny says, I do my homework. I speak the word over myself. Over myself. Amen? Because I've said it before. If I'm having a bad hair day, like yesterday, I didn't even want to be with myself, man. I shouldn't have even got out of bed. But I did. And I didn't like being with that flesh person of myself. Oh, let alone my husband. He took the dog for a walk down the riverbank and he's bouncing away, trying to kind of like be like me, you know, happy, happy, smiling. Come on, come on, smile. I'm like, like make me. Isn't it real? It's real, isn't it? Oh, Jesus, thank God I'm born again. Thank God I know how to tap into the Spirit. And so now, great, you know, and he was like, phew, oh, wow. Okay, but it didn't help. It was also a launch. It was like a bazooka from the enemy. Okay, he was waiting like this roaring lion, and he threw this big at me, and it was like a dark cloud. It was horrible. I don't like it. I like the sunshine. I like this weather. Amen. We like the sunshine. Okay, we like the sunshine. So characteristics of childhood. The next stage of development in a believer's life is childhood. This is a very difficult time to come through, and if truth be told, many never progress beyond it. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 14, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Amen. We've got to press into God every day, because the media, some of the movies we watch, some of the families we're connected to, they are not walking in the Spirit. Amen. And they can be influential in our lives. They can lead us down a merry path, you know. You could be tempted thinking, I really need these finances, you know. And someone might come into your will and say, why don't you just come on? I've got this lotto ticket. I'll bless you with it. Oh, yeah, I'll take it. It might be the winning ticket. This could be God, you know. No, that's gambling. Don't be tempted. Okay, so have your ears on, have your spiritual ears on about the wiles and guiles of the evil one. That's why we press into God, so that when he's coming down the street to tempt us, we can recognize it. Because the enemy doesn't tempt you with, like, you know, like one of those Halloween costumes, you know, with these red horns on his head, dressed in black, like Darth Vader. No, he doesn't come to you like that. It says that even Satan can come to you like an angel of light. Oh, hi, how are you, darling? Hi, would you? Oh, come for coffee. Yeah, come for coffee. Hey, did you know I saw Sister So-and-so, and she was down that pub the other day. Really? And, oh, my God, you're being a busybody in someone else's matters. Before you know it, you listen to gossip, and now you're talking about it. Now you're judging her. Well, it wouldn't be me. Gosh, hasn't she grown up by now? She should know better. What? And she's on the ushering team. I'm going to tell the pastors on her. So be careful. Okay, the enemy can come with a smile on the dial, masquerading as an angel of light. Be very, very careful, all right? Trust Jesus. Trust the Holy Spirit, your constant companion. If you give him permission, okay, if you give him permission, he can be like your conscience. To me, I see like a red stop sign or a go green sign, okay? Ask him, Holy Spirit, please help me. And he'll give you a stop in your spirit. He'll say, no, don't do that. Don't do that. Amen. It's a good checkup. He's my constant companion. I don't know where he was yesterday. he was like, oh, she's away. I'll just wait here till she comes back. Yeah. Okay. So Satan can keep us as children. If he can, we will never see the kingdom of God established. Let us now look at characteristics of childhood and let's draw some parallels of spiritual behavior. All right. One, unsteadiness. That means they're unreliable. They're up and down. Yep, I'll be there, pastor. I'll be there, pastor. Next minute, oh, what's happened? They've had a better offer. Oh, text, sorry, can't make it. Of course, we won't tell them. Yeah, I've been invited down to my, you know, my favorite band is playing and I can't make it at the worship night or something like that. Unreliable, unsteadiness. Number two is an impressionable. They're open to wrong things and they're gullible. Okay, so like I said, the enemy can come like an angel of light. You know, I'll just, yeah, come to this party. It's okay. There's, you know, there's no alcohol there and it's going to be okay. Oh, okay, yeah, it's Johnny's birthday party. Okay, yeah, great. And you haven't really checked it out and you've gone along and it's a full-blown one of these drunken revering and people, you know, doing all sorts of drugs and you didn't even know. And before you know it, you're in there and you've not even got a ride home because your friend bought you. Where am I? Where am I? Okay, so don't be deceived, Okay, don't be gullible. We have to grow up past that. The Bible says our steps are order of the Lord. Again, we grow up. Someone throws us an invitation, looks innocent, seems innocent. But as you grow up, you'll get that red stop sign on the inside, no, don't go. And you'll think, I don't know why, but I have to decline the invitation. And we just go, we be led by the Spirit. We don't get tempted to go and find out for ourselves and see what it's all about. Amen? Spasmodic, easily distracted and moved by their feelings. Again, like me yesterday, I don't feel like praising the Lord because I'm not happy. All right? I had a choice. I probably should have praised the Lord even more. I should have put a praise tape on and just praised the Lord until I broke through myself. Okay? It was just another lesson that I was going through. Thoughtless, number four, that's vain speaking, foolish talking, speaking evil. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 4, we'll have a quick look at that. Okay, so there we go. It's talking about being imitators of God as dear children and walking in love. And it's telling us not to walk in filthiness or foolish talking or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks to the Lord. Amen? So we're not to be swearing and we're not to be foolish talking. Yeah, sorry, that's my phone in my bag. Okay, I get a point deducted for not turning my phone off. Sounds like it's powering down. Okay, so also number five, curious. We're not to be nosy and busybodies. I mean, I was like that when I first got born again. It was so normal to go talking about everything and the weather and everyone else around about you. I mean, I was young. I was in my 20s. I wasn't growing up in Christ then. You know, and it's not till I started growing and you think, oh, you read the word. Oh, that's actually gossip. We're not meant to be gossiping. I'm not meant to be a busybody in other people's matters, but if I could just go and help Jenny, if you tell me all about Jenny, I want to pray for Jenny. No, you don't. You're nosy. You just want to know what's going on in Jenny's world. I've been there. I've done that. And then you go, wow. And then it makes you, I feel good. I'm not doing that anymore. Okay, so be very careful. We're not to be a busybody in other people's matters. We don't have to know everything that's going on with everybody. Okay? Some things are it's none of our business. You know, it's probably, I love it, go the pastors. It's the pastor's business. Here am I, send the pastors. They look after the church, amen? I love it. They look after the babies and the children and the adults and, oh, aren't we thankful? Love the pastors, but yeah, thank you, Jesus. We're not called to be pastors. We're called to be teachers in the body of Christ. That's what we do. But we do have pastoral care running through us, not a problem. But I'm just saying I admire the pastors. Beautiful. Okay, so both the stages we've looked at so far are typical examples of what Paul referred to in 1 Corinthians 13 as carnal Christians. 1 Corinthians 13, 1-3, and I, brethren, okay, that's the Apostle Paul. Brethren tells us he's speaking to the Corinthian church. I could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able, for you are still acting carnally. For where there's envy, strife, and divisions amongst you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? All right, so it's our responsibility to grow up in Christ. It's our responsibility to do our due diligence. It's our responsibility to be walking in the fruit of the Spirit and inheriting the kingdom of God, which is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen. And the fruit of it is that we can go out there and be a light to a lost world. It doesn't take much energy to operate in your natural carnal self. Okay, it comes naturally according to what we were before Christ. It takes a lot more energy to walk in the Spirit. And the desire of the Lord is that we grow up so that we can be a light to a lost world. Amen. We owe it to Jesus. He laid his life down for us. He ended up walking in the Spirit. Remember, he didn't want to go to the cross. At Gethsemane, he was sweating drops of blood. He did not want to go. Okay, and it was no joy having a crown of thorns stuck in his head, being spat on, being whipped and having his flesh torn out of his back. It was not a happy event. But if he sacrificed for us, he sacrificed because of love. We can sacrifice our carnal nature by working very hard and growing up in Christ, amen, and growing strong in the Lord and growing in the fruit of the Spirit so we can be a light to other people. Amen. We're called out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. We need to be that point of difference. We need to be the salt of the earth. We need to make people thirsty for Jesus. They need to see that we're walking in love. And especially our family around about us that are unsaved. What point of difference are they seeing in you that would say to them, yeah, I need this Jesus that you serve? Are you behaving like them? Are you getting involved in family feuds? They're watching you like a hawkeye. You're responsible to grow up and be like Jesus Christ. Amen. Because we are the light in a dark world. And at the end of the day, the only thing we can take with us on planet Earth is people to heaven. That's the bottom line. That's what we're here for. I had a wonderful time on the Gold Coast for 3 weeks. But bottom line, I'm actually here to serve Jesus. And I've soldiered back up and we go again, Lord. And thank you for the holiday. But I'm here to obey the Lord of my life. That's Jesus. And I had to put on the Lord Jesus Christ again. It was a journey. Took a few days to do it. Amen. I had to soldier up. Get back in there, girl. We're going again. Amen. Because it's all about the calling. It's not about me hiding in the Gold Coast for the rest of my life enjoying myself. No, it's about the calling, the sacrifice. Amen. Love sacrifices for the calling of light. Amen. So that's what we do. So we'll have a 5-minute break there.
I better get moving here. I've just got a jundle. Let's go. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you and praise you again, Lord, for... We thank you and praise you again for the presence of God in this place. We thank you, Lord. It's all about teaching and bringing truth to the body of Christ, to build your church, Lord. We want to build your church because you says, Jesus, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And Lord God, it's because of the truth and knowing who you are and knowing who you are in us that the enemy will not prevail against us. So we thank you for the dynamic truths of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ and the truths of the new creation reality that we can rise up and overcome all things by the Spirit of God. And even when we fall and make mistakes and blow it, Lord, we thank you that your grace is there continually until we rise up in these things to help us to overcome in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Wasn't that a good session? I tell you what, I was drinking myself from that session. I really enjoyed that. Even though that she was telling some truths about, you know, what goes on. But let me just say one thing on that, right? And I believe as a man of God, right, that men definitely are responsible for being a covering within the household. And when all of that happened, like when she was back from the Gold Coast, see, I didn't even click for a minute, right? Because she was great. She's been, it's been great for years, right? Contrary to sometimes things that she makes you think, it's been good for years, right, with us in our marriage. But it's been, I'm telling you the truth here. It's been a long time since I've seen that happen to my wife, and I should have recognized what it was. It was like, if I'd have said black, she'd have said white, right? And no matter what I said, there would have been no, I would not have had the right answer, right? I could not get the right answer, and I should have recognized it was spiritual. The Bible tells us clearly we are not fighting against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of darkness. The enemy's sending little, you know, minions to attach themselves like that and oppress us, right? And he did it in a place where she was vulnerable because of the very relationship she had with my daughter and Mrs. My daughter. And so the enemy uses real things. And then he just comes in and creeps up. The Bible says he's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But I should have recognized, thought, this is not her. This isn't the new creation. This isn't my wife. This isn't what's going on here, right? So what I should have done, I should have went and now, I'm going to expose myself a little bit because, see, she's done it, right? Though I had nothing to do with what was actually going on in her life, right, when this was actually all going on, I'm telling you about the solical man, Right? We've got to talk truths here, right? Otherwise, you think that we are some supernatural, we are supernatural, but if we are sitting walking up here, how can we relate to people and let them know how to overcome things, right? So that's why we do what we do, right? So I'm telling you, when this thing was going on with her, with Tracy, and this I felt this like conflict. I'm thinking, Lord, what is this conflict? It's like, it was horrible, right? It was just horrible. And now, instead of me pressing in and Lord and pressing in the and praying in the spirit and praying the word over my wife even when she wasn't there and speaking over her. No, my little carnal mind, right? My little carnal mind's like that. I've had enough of this. I'm taking off. I'm going somewhere else. I don't need this in my life, right? You know, I'm too old in the teeth for this. That's the carnal mind. That's the carnal mind speaks to you those things. And that's how people end up go off and getting divorces and all sorts of things. Not that we've got a divorce about that, but, right? But that's how these things start, right? You've got that conflict, and no matter what happens, you can't see me go over the conflict, because sometimes it's not just little things that happen. Sometimes it's spiritual, right? And no matter what you do, I mean, I could have done anything to please her, and I wouldn't have pleased her. Why? Because it wasn't natural. It was demonic, right? So are we, you're going, oh, how can you, let me give you a scripture, right? You remember when I were talking, one of the apostles, and walking with Jesus for 3.5 years and supernatural signs and wonders, right? And the apostle's walking with Jesus, and all of a sudden it's Peter, and he turns around and he tries to stop Peter from going to, for Jesus going to that cross. And Jesus turns around and says to him, get behind me, Satan. Now, I don't suggest men you turn and say to your woman, because all you're going to get is the frying pan over your head, right? So don't even go there, right? Don't even go there, right? So what I'm trying to say, Jesus recognized this was not natural. This was his disciple who loved him. And even though that Peter thought that he was actually, you know, like trying to look after Jesus, he was being influenced by a demonic spirit that was actually not wanting him to go to the cross. And Jesus turned around and says, get behind me, Satan. He wasn't talking to Peter. He wasn't talking to Peter. So many times, if you're having conflict like that and it just seems a wee bit overboard or whatever, right? Go behind the scenes, not in front of their face, or you'll get the jandal across the head or something, right? Behind the scenes and start taking authority in Jesus' name and break the powers of darkness. That's what I should have done. But I didn't reckon. I wasn't quick enough to reckon it, because it's been a long time since that's happened. And I wasn't aware of it, right? But she'll tell you, I came home that night, and I'm saying this, nothing else. Been fasting for this supernatural conference coming up with Joe and all this stuff. So we've been fasting and stuff like that. I mean, that night that I came home, I mean, everything within me wanted to eat, right? I mean, I don't usually have problems, you know, like fasting and praying and stuff like that. But I had a struggle for 2 days. Why? Because the enemy knew also, right? So you start to fast and pray, what happens is you become... See, fasting doesn't change God one iota. But what it does, it closes down your flesh and makes you more sensitive to your spirit, right? Fasting doesn't make, it's faith that moves the hand of God, right? It's not your fasting that moves the hand of God, right? It's faith that moves the hand of God. But fasting helps you to close down your flesh and stop yielding to your flesh and yield to your spirit. So I phoned her up yesterday. I said, look, hey, this is like after 4 hours. Go to the shops, get something to eat, because I'm coming home. I've had a hard day. I need to eat. This is after the second day, right? I need to eat, right? And she's like, and I could hear her attitude in the background. Like, she didn't really say too much like that, but I'm thinking, because the night before it nearly happened, right? The same thing. And she's going, you're supposed to be fasting. You're on a fast, right? For this supernatural. So anyway, I came home and it happened. She went and got some food, right? And this is, I'm telling you, this is what happened. Because I've been on the fast for 2 days, right, I got in the house and I could see that she still wasn't right, and I was still uncomfortable. My spirit was more sensitive now, right? More sensitive to the things of God. And even though she put all the food up there, she put some rice on and da da da, and there was other meals I could have made. I looked at that and I says, no, you don't, flesh. No, you don't. I spoke to my own mind, spoke to my flesh. No, you don't. You ain't having that, right? Because I'm going to be praying tonight in Jesus' name. Right, I was praying, whether Joe came round that night or not, I intended to spend time in prayer with my wife anyway, but as it happened, God knew we needed reinforcements, right, just to bring a bit more, you know, pleasantness in that place where the enemy wouldn't have, you know, had a chance. Because even though, isn't this funny, right, this is amazing, right, because even though that the enemy would have just... through me, through her, to me, whatever. It's funny how that it wouldn't have happened towards him. So it shows you that we still have a point of self-control. Even though the enemy is oppressing us, we still have choices, right? Because she wouldn't have showed that to him, right? And that's what we do. We shouldn't do that. We shouldn't be doing that to anybody. But we still have control in those situations. So as it happened, reinforcement came and we came out the whole thing. But what I'm saying is this, that's the solical man. That was me. I'm thinking, I'm out here, I'll just go and have fellowship with somebody else. I can't be dealing with this, right? That was my thoughts. No, I didn't do it, right? I didn't even take the food that was like, you know, pressing on me to take the food. I yielded myself to my spirit man and says, no, you've got to stay here. You've got to press in. It's called loving God and loving your family, right? Even though it's uncomfortable on your flesh and your flesh wants to give it back, right? We're in a battle, people. But the good news is this. You are the victors. You are the winners. You've got Christ living inside of you. You've got the name of Jesus. We sung that song tonight. Ryan said a great song. The name that's above all names, Jesus, that Jesus Christ, that powerful name. You've got a name. You've got the blood of Jesus Christ. You've got weapons of your warfare. The weapons of your warfare are not carnal. They're not, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. They are mighty. The weapons of your warfare is praying in the Spirit, worshiping God, praising God, using the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, binding the forces of darkness. Whatever you bind in earth shall be bound in heaven. Not God's heaven, the atmospheric heaven where the demonic forces, you know, have their activity. Whatever you bind in heaven shall be bound. Whatever you allow shall be allowed, right? I was allowing that because I wasn't doing anything about it. She was allowing it because she wasn't doing anything about it. See, we're still free agents. Born again or not born again, you are a free agent. And the only way to deal a blow to these things is keep on, talking to brother at the back there, is keep on praising God. Keep on pressing and get your eyes on Jesus, the author, the finisher, the developer of your faith, and press in. Let him keep on loving you. Let him keep on empowering you, because as you get empowered, right, and as you let him love you, then you will be able to love. Right? But if you're feeling rejected and hurt because you've been, they've said something wrong to you, you'll just give that back. No. Press into Jesus. He will love you. He'll exhort you. And then he'll say, hey, get a grip of yourself. Rise up. Deal with the thing. Right? So it's about the solical man and the spirit man. There's always a battle. But it's been a long time since there's been a battle like that for a while for us. Other things, the carnal mind always wants to give you those carnal thoughts. You have to bring it into subjection every day. So let's move on. Hallelujah. That was for free. Hallelujah. Spiritual growth is not an option, right? People, if you want to build the kingdom of God and you want to build a church and you want to grow and you want to overcome and you want your families to be saved and all sorts of things in your life, it is not an option. This is not an option. The Bible clearly says that we are in a warfare, but we are empowered to win the warfare all the time. But we have to press into God so that we are empowered to win the warfare. Amen? So spiritual growth is not an option. Until we grow up spiritually, in other words, until your soul and your body are under the influence of the Spirit, we are always going to be moved by our unrenewed mind and carnal nature, right? Until we grow up spiritually. Until your body and your soul is brought into subjection, we're always going to be flip-flopping and flying all over the place. I'm in 1 minute, I'm out the next minute. I'm getting divorced, no, I'm lover. No, I'm going to get divorced, no, I love her. Right? I don't want a baby, or I do want a baby. Right? Then you're waiting for a nice little peaceful bit that's happening in your marriage, and then, oh, it's okay now, and then all of a sudden you're back out again. See? Flip-flopping and flying. That's why there's so many divorces in the world, because people are being led by their feelings and led by their emotions, and the world don't have an excuse, people. Because they are spiritually dead towards God and don't have, are not empowered. I mean, they have an excuse, and not really an excuse, but they don't have the same power and authority and dominion and ability that you've got with inside of you to take charge of your life and your salvation and the way that you act and the way you respond. Men are activators. Women are responders. Did you hear that, men? Men are activators. God's called man to be the head of the household, only for one reason, is to activate in the realm of love, to activate the prayer life, to activate the word of God, to activate those things that the princess can grow up under that anointing. We are the activators, they are the responders. And there's even times in the past, she'll probably tell you, sometimes she gives me hard times, but the times in the past, she'll tell you, I'm usually the one that will come, right? After 2 weeks, no. I usually come and I will apologize and I'll recognize. right? And even sometimes I'll apologize when it's not even been my fault. Why? Because it's not about her winning or me winning. It's about Jesus winning in our lives. It's about a win-win situation. It's a win-win situation. It's not about me knowing I'm right. That I wouldn't win if that's the case. So Ephesians chapter 4, 17 and 20, Amplified says this. So this I say, solemnly testify in the name of the Lord as in his presence, that you must no longer live as the heathen. Don't act like the heathen. Don't operate like the heathen. The Gentiles do in their perverseness and the folly of vanity of emptiness of their souls and futility of their minds. Their mortal understanding is darkened and their reasoning is beclouded. They are alienated and strange, self-banished from the life of God. Self-banished from the life of God with no share in it. This is because of the ignorance of the want of knowledge and perception, the willful blindness that is deep-seated in them due to their hardness of heart, to the insensitiveness of their mortal nature. In their spiritual apathy, they have become callous, past feeling, and reckless, and have abandoned themselves a prey to unbridled sensuality, see, feelings, eager and greedy and indulge in every form of impurity that their deprived desires may suggest and demand, but you did not so learn Christ. Now he's speaking to the church. And he's trying to give them a picture, what like the person who's not born again, the person that doesn't have the new creation living and dwelling in them. This is the operation of those people inside. This is their operation. And they can't help that because they have the sinful nature. And the only answer, that's why you can have all these different answers in the world. People try, oh, do this and do that and go to yoga and blah, blah, and go to psycho. The only answer is Jesus. The answer is getting a new nature, right? The answer is not counseling people till the cows come home. The answer is getting a new nature and then getting the word of God into the person's spirit, that their spirit can be so alive in God, that their spirit can be so empowered by God, that the Spirit of God will help you and guide you and lead you in your innermost being. The word of God is what empowers your spirit, to help you to rise up in Christ and put on Christ and to overcome these things. The world doesn't have that option, but we do. So Paul's dealing with these things in the church. Why? You look through the Corinthians church and all, like Tracy said in that last scripture, you know, I can't even speak to you spiritual, but as mere men with their jealousies and strifes and all of those things, that's carnality. It's babyhood. But we've got to come beyond that stuff. Jesus wants a maturity in his church so that he can empower his church. Come on, say this here. If you give a child a live machine gun, he's going to make a mess. Right? I'm talking real bullets, a child, right? You know, a 2 or 3-year-old. Give a live, make a mess. It's no wonder God doesn't empower us with power, because life and death is in the power of the tongue, and those who love it shall eat the fruit. If we were so empowered, what happened? If that anointing came on our life to do certain things, we would probably cause damage until our carnal nature is brought into line. So God is waiting in us. We're not waiting in God. We're waiting for God to put his power. No, God is waiting in us to come in line in maturity so that he can empower you in a greater way. And the anointing will come upon you to do greater things. No, I'm not talking to any babies here, right? Shoe fits, wear it. But the reality is, we've all been there and we all grow through these things. And we have got to grow up in the things of God because we want to walk in the power of God. Amen. Come on, everyone here want to walk in the power of God and the anointing of God to see change and manifestations of God's Holy Spirit in other people's lives. These are the things that Paul's dealing with. So in these verses, we see the ignorance, the want of knowledge, willful blindness, and due to hardness of heart, which is really because of sin, right? The sin nature. The sin nature. All have to do with the social realm. The obvious conclusion here is that the worldly or unsafe person, because he is not born again and spiritual life to God, can only function in body and soul. So the person who's not born again can only function in body and in soul. And you know what the soul is? It's the emotions, it's the will, and it's the intellect, right? And then the body is the feelings, right? The five physical senses. Paul says, I don't walk by what? By the five physical senses. I don't walk by sight, but by what? By faith. By faith. Faith comes from the word of God as you're speaking. I do things. I love by faith. right? I act by faith. How does faith come? By hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I have to be filled with faith. I have to keep feeding on the word of God so that my spirit man is full of faith, that when I'm in a situation like what we're talking about in the last few days, that we can respond in the right way. Faith is what overcomes the world. This is your victory. Your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Your faith in the Son of God. Your faith in His victory. That He has overcome the devil. That He has overcome every situation for you. And as you press into Him and decree who He is to you and who He is in the marriage and all those things, you are decreeing the goodness of God. You've got to be speaking over your marriage the blessing of God. My marriage dwells within the secret place of the Most High. Dwells in the secret place of the Most High and abides under the shadow of the Almighty. And we say of you, O God, Psalm 91, we say of you, O God, that you are a refuge and our shield and our buckler and our strength. You are decreeing promises and speaking life over the marriage, Psalm 91. The enemy will always bring situations to get you to speak death and cause basically manifestations of those things that you speak. You have power and death in the power of your tongue. It's what are we speaking? And I'm not saying it's always easy, but the reality is it's possible, right? But it's possible to those who will believe it's possible, because God says it's possible. Do you believe Him? Do you believe God? It's possible. Walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So, soulish or carnal Christians may be born again, but they are spiritually immature and motivated. Right, so soulish or carnal Christians may be born again, but they are spiritually immature and motivated by the soul and body. The objective of the child of God is to have the recreated human spirit, which has the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, to control the soul and the body. That's the objective. It's for your spirit man to be in charge of your life, right? And your spirit man cannot be in charge of your life unless you feed your spirit man. That's why Tracy used that scripture on, it's by the sincere milk of the word of God that you grow thereby. It's not always by sensing the presence of God, right? Oh, the presence of God is good, and we can sense His love, and we need that in our life, right? That's what, you could say, waters our life, but it's the word of God that empowers your spirit to rise up. It's the sword of the Spirit. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And it's the very thing that divides between the soul man and the spirit man. The word. Speak the word only over your life, over your marriage, over your children, over your business, whatever it is. Speak the word only. Don't be tempted and pushed and squeezed to speak the wrong things and bring death to it. Hallelujah. Okay, so controlled by the Spirit. We want to be controlled by the Spirit of God, led by the Spirit of God. Ephesians 4:22 Amplified verse says this. Stir yourself up. Stir yourself up. Stir yourself up. Who's going to stir yourself up? Who? 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 Ah, see, they're catching in this class now, right? It takes a lot. That's why we go over and over and over and over and over things, right? You stir yourself up, talking about your spirit man. Your flesh ain't going to stir you up for the things of God. Your carnal mind isn't going to stir you up for the things of God, because your carnal mind, it says in Romans, it says it's enmity to the things of God. So you, the spirit man, has to stir yourself up, right? You, the spirit man, Paul's talking to you, the spirit man, stir yourself up. You've got to stir yourself. That's why I say sometimes you just drag yourself to that mirror and start speak, look in that mirror and go, listen, you Smith, get a grip of yourself, because Jesus is Lord over your life, and I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus, and greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world, and I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and Father, I praise you and glorify you. Next thing you know, the Holy Spirit's grabbed a hold of your spirit, and all of a sudden you're gone, man. You're in the realm of the Spirit, and you're gone with God, and faith is arising in your heart, and you're preaching, and you're decreeing, and you're prophesying to your life, and you are speaking, and you are making your world a better place, because you're stirring yourself up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. So, stir yourself up in your most... and your form, stir yourself of your former nature. Put off and disregard your old unrenewed self. You've got to put off. God's not going to put it off for you. He will help you by the Holy Spirit, but He's not going to put off that old carnal way of thinking. You have to do something. You have to put it off. Put off, disregard the old unused self, which characterized your previous manner of life and becomes corrupt through the lusts and desires that spring from delusion. Right? I mean, yesterday, she was in delusion. Right? I'm going to live on the Gold Coast. Right? I'm not living here. I'm going to the Gold Coast. Right? And I'm looking at her, I'm going, what? Right? Now, if it's God's will that we go to the Gold Coast, that's all good, right? I've got no problem but going to live in the Gold Coast, right? Yeah. But the thing is, you've got to understand, is it's your calling, it's your not. You've got to be where God, because listen, I don't care if you're living in the sunshine. If you're living in the sunshine, right, or, you know, 24/7, and you're at the will of God, you'll be miserable. So it's about the will of God. And you know, I know there may be a time and a season that we go to God and even live over there. So that, I'm not saying it, I'm not disregarding that. But where she was at that point in time is, we're going to the Gold Coast. Now. Now. I'm out of here now. See? It's all about attitude before the Lord. It's about doing what He wants us to do. Listen, God doesn't want to hold anything good for us. Does God want to live? Listen, let me just even say this. Do you think God wants you to live, wants you and your family to live in a really, really bad neighborhood? No, He doesn't. He doesn't. He wants the best for you. He wants you out of those neighborhoods, right? If there's drugs and rock and roll all about you, there might be a time and a season you might be in those places to be a witness, but He certainly doesn't want you in the midst of that stuff, right? God will take you out and God will bless your life. Now, the street that we live in, it's really not that bad, right? I mean, there was a story. It's not really that bad. Now and again, you'll see the black power walking at the very end of the road to cut through to where they're actually going. But, you know, we've lived there for 5 years. It's okay, right? But according to what she's seen in the Gold Coast, it wasn't okay. Right? See? She just saw another picture. Right? She just saw another picture. Like, have I got time to tell a quick story? How far am I? I probably can. I could tell the story. It's really funny. Maybe another time. Let's carry on here. So it says, the previous manner of life becomes corrupt through the lust, desire springs from delusion. And put on the new nature. Put on the new, it says put on. See, put off and put on the new nature, the regenerate self, created in God's image, God-like in true righteousness and holiness. So you have to put something on. You have to take something off and you have to put something on. How do you do it? It's simple. You put it on by praise. You put it on by speaking to Him. You put it on by speaking the truth. You put this new nature on by speaking the truth. Because if you're speaking the truth that I'm more than a conqueror, that I'm in Christ and Christ is no longer I that liveth, but Christ who lives in me, and the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. You're putting on the new nature. Your new nature is awakening to faith. It's awakening to the Word of God, and you will start to see and you will start to perceive and you'll go, yes, this is who I am. You're putting them on. Put off. If you don't put on, you will never be able to put off. Right? Put off the old man. The way that you put off the old man is by putting on the new man. Now, I'm talking about the old man. I'm not talking about your spirit, the old man, because your spirit, old man, is dead. We've gone over this in the classes, right, time and time again. Your unrecreated spirit, that sinful nature spirit, is dead, crucified at Calvary. So when I'm saying put off the old man, I'm talking about the fleshly nature. It's in your flesh, right? Not your spirit. Your spirit is recreating the image of God, and you have the nature of God inside of you. So what he's saying is put off those attitudes of mind, those carnal attitudes, and don't let your flesh dominate you. But you can only put those things off by putting on who you are in Christ Jesus, because it's the Word that empowers your spirit, and all of a sudden your spirit man arises and goes, oh, this is who I am. Right? Sometimes my wife says to me, hey, go to the bedroom and deal with yourself. In other words, what she's saying is go to the bedroom and put on the new man. I don't want to see the old man because the old man, you know, is just not who I want to be married to. I want to be married to the new creation. When she said to the morning, we went down to the heads this morning at a prayer meeting at 6:30 this morning. I come back all bubbly, jump, gets out of bed. Come on, let's go for a walk down the bank. And she's going, I like this guy. she likes that guy. Now she can put up long suffering with other guy because you've got to. But the reality is, there's different realms in God. There's more. There's much more that we could be walking in, and we can make our life a lot better and a lot more pleasant. but it's we're waiting for God to... No, Jesus has went to the cross, risen from the dead, conquered the enemy, and given you the authority and the power, and showed you how to do it through these classes and through the preaching and the teaching you get in your church. Get your spirit man built and start taking charge of your life. That's how you do it. So put off, put on. Before spiritual maturity can be reached, there must be a putting off. There must be a putting off of the control of the flesh and putting on of the control of the human spirit. Right? You've got to get that spirit man arising. Characteristics of manhood. The stage of spiritual maturity is really talking a place of spiritual maturity. The stage of spiritual manhood is really talking of a place of spiritual maturity. There was a, anybody heard of a guy called Edwin Lewis Cole? No? American, right? Awesome guy. Over the years, heard him. He's now in the Lord in heaven. This guy wrote a book called Manhood and Christ-likeness are synonymous. You can't separate them. Manhood and Christ-likeness are synonymous. You cannot separate manhood from Christ-likeness. Listen, walking in Christ is walking in manhood. Right? Come on. Give you a couple of verses in Ephesians chapter 4. It says, husbands, loved your wife as Christ loved the church. How did he love it? He laid his life down. He prayed for the church, even the state that she was in. Even the state that it can still be in today. He's interceding 24-7 for the church. Right? Laid down his life for the church. Husbands, loved your wives as Christ loved the church. Now, I'm not going to talk about the wives, but you start to read the chapter and you see that the wife's response. But first, as husbands, love your wives. You are the activators. They are the responders. Move on. Okay. Character of manhood. So, let us now look at some areas of maturity, gain insight into the qualities that need to be developed. Not controlled by natural things. You heard it tonight, didn't you? Natural things try to control her life through thoughts by things that she saw. They were natural things. Beautiful beaches, beautiful sunshine, all different things. Natural things were basically trying to dominate her mindset, her thought realm. Right, and was making her miserable to where she was actually living at this point in time. In fact, Apostle Paul puts it this way, people, listen, be content in every situation that you're in. He says, I know how to be what? I know how to abase, right? That means I know how to have plenty and prosper and be blessed, but I also know how to be what? I know how to be content in even what I'm in. Because your contentment is in Christ Jesus, not in your circumstances. It's not in your circumstance. You have, there's contentment inside of your spirit. You have a kingdom of God living and dwelling inside of you. And there's contentment and there's peace and joy. She says, and we say, you can have contentment inside of you. And even though things on the outside don't look good, there's a kingdom inside of us. We're not supposed to be dominated, moved by circumstantial evidence. In fact, your faith is independent of circumstances. Your faith is independent of circumstances because your faith is in Jesus. Your faith is in the resurrection and who he is and what he's done for you. Right, okay. Not controlled by natural things, surrounding possessions, people, or self, right? Not controlled by. Listen, you can be controlled by your husband or by your wife because they're having a really bad day and all of a sudden you start having a bad day. You've been controlled. You don't have to be. Because you can live in that. My wife used to always say to me, sometimes when we went through some hard times in our life, I'd look at her and I'm thinking, she's in that bubble again. She's in this bubble. She just lives in this bubble, right? When I was going through a hard time, she could just live in this bubble and this joy would be on her face. Why? Because she was living out of the kingdom of God with inside of her. Now, even though I was having little, you know, tantrums or whatever over the years and not so happy about certain things and situations, she could live in this little bubble. And the bubble was in Christ. And you say, but that's not reality. No, it is reality. Living. Paul said this way, I live and I move and I have my being in him. I live and I move and I have my being in him. You can live in him, even though the circumstances are crazy on the outside, you can live and move and have your being in him. But you have to believe it. You have to receive it by faith. Jesus, I'm determined to walk in you. I'm determined to let you be big in me and walk in me. Grab a hold of it by faith. Speak those things over your life. Okay, here's a Psalm 1. verse 1 and 3 and 1st and 3rd John 2. Psalm 1 and 1 says, blessed is the man who stands not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, or stands in the way of the sinners, but blessed is the man who meditates. What's meditation? Muttering, speaking, right? Meditation isn't, right? That's not meditation, right? Jesus never told you to have an empty head. Empty heads get filled by wrong things. Right? He told you to take charge of your mind and to renew your mind, not to have an empty head. Meditation in the scriptural sense means meditation, means mutter, means speak, means declare. Right? Blessed is the man who meditates upon the word of God. Blessed is the man who meditates upon the word of God day and night, it says, day and night. He or she will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water and shall bear fruit, right? Bear fruit in their season. In their season, and their leaf shall never wither. Your marriage will never wither. Your business will never fall to the ground. Why? Because you're meditating in the Word of God. You're meditating the Word of God, and you're filling your spirit with the Word of God, and the meditation of your heart. And the blessed is the man. Blessed is the man who meditates upon the Word. Your spirit wants to meditate. Your flesh don't. So you have to make a choice to meditate and speak the Word over your life. You will be like the tree planted by the rivers of water, and you will draw. You will draw in times, even hard times in your life. You will be able to. Why? Why rivers of? Why trees planted by? Why? Because there's a well of life inside of you. Jesus says, "From your belly shall flow rivers of living water." Thus, he spoke about the Holy Ghost, praying in the Spirit. There's rivers of living water dwelling within inside of us. And John 3 and 2 says, beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as what? As your soul prospers. Not your spirit, because your spirit's already created. Your spirit already has a nature of God. Your soul will command. I wish above all things, beloved, you may prosper and be in health. See, prosper, that means financially, right? Prosper and be in health, physically and well-being. I wish above all things you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. That's why you need the Word of God. That's why you need church. That's why you need to stand on a great teaching and preaching by the and getting pastored by the Word of God. Why? Because your soul, I tell people, hey, if your soul is not prospering, you will not prosper. I don't care where you're going or what you're doing, and you think you're having a gay old time. Something comes around the corner, you'll come up against something, right? You need to get your mind renewed by the Word of God, so when situations arise, we have something to deal with. Your mind, your soul command has got to prosper, but it only can prosper by the washing of the water, by the Word of God. So not proud, dependent on recognition, dead to self, God conscious, right? So this is, we're talking about characteristics of manhood, right? Not proud, not dependent on recognition. It's not about me, dead to self, right? God conscious. In other words, you're more interested, even you got a call in your life, people here tonight, call in your life, whatever, anointing of God. It's not about what you can do, look at me and wow, can I preach? Great. No, it's about bringing glory to Him. It's about bringing glory to Him and desiring to do what He wants you to do, to bring glory to Him, but also for His people to rise up and be who they are. So it's not about us. It's about who He is in us. It makes all the difference. Who He is in us. That He wants to be big and live big in us. Always gives God the glory. Depend totally on God, recognizes that everything is God's, right? God's spirit, God's word, God's faith. Everything comes from Him. You cannot do this stuff on your own. The spiritual man is a man who has thoughts and actions under control. A spiritual man is a man who has his thoughts and his actions under his control. Under whose control? New creation. Under your spirit. That's what makes the spiritual giant, is when your soul is in line with your spirit. And you're dominating, and you are taking charge of your flesh. The spiritual maturity man, the spiritual mature person, is the person who has their solical, carnal thoughts in line and with God's word, with God's word, God's thoughts, God's ways, God's attitudes. You have His character, and he'll feed you those thoughts. Spiritual maturity. To reach spiritual maturity, we will have to win several battles and key areas. The thoughts, we've talked about. The feelings, we've talked about many times. Feelings and emotions, overcoming, like Tracy was talking about, you know, like yesterday and in a few days, overcoming those feelings, overcoming those emotions. And even though there was a demonic attack, right, in that situation, right, the enemy always comes through the flesh. Through the flesh. But God always comes through your inner man. The sweet voice of the Holy Spirit is always telling you, even though there's an attack and things are happening, the sweet voice of the Holy Spirit is always speaking, come on, you can do this. I'm bigger than this in you. And spiritual maturity, negative attitudes. Getting rid of the negative attitudes. See, what you've got to see is this. If you've got a negative attitude, come on, work with me here, right? If you've got a negative attitude, you've got to say straight away, that's not who you are in Christ. That's how you can tell. If you've got a negative attitude, that's not the attitude of your spirit. That's not the attitude of God. So you're not walking out of your new creation spirit. You're not walking in the spirit. God says, walk in the spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh, right? Walking in the spirit is not as, you know, floating around. I'm in the spirit. No, walking out in the spirit is actually just walking out of your recreated human spirit, but empowered by the Holy Spirit. Walking in love. Walking in peace. So although God has given us the ability to think positive thoughts, we are also able to think negative thoughts. You choose. Choose life or death, curse or blessing. Tells you in Deuteronomy. We are also able to control our thoughts as we renew our mind to the Word of God. It's the only way you'll be able to control your thoughts. Your mind has to be renewed by the Word of God. Speaking those scriptures on a daily basis over your life will help you renew your mind and empower your spirit to the time when situations come, that word will come back to your remembrance, because the Holy Ghost will make sure that word comes back to your remembrance. And then examine every thought and permit only godly ones to remain. Romans 12:2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You. And do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transformation comes by the renewing of your mind by the Word of God. Now you hear the Word of God, and faith comes by hearing the Word of God, but you will need to speak the Word of God out your own mouth. I'm telling you. My mind didn't get renewed because I sat under the Word of God. Faith came to my spirit because I sat under the Word of God. But your mind will get renewed as you start to speak the Word of God for yourself. That's how your mind gets renewed. See, people thought that the pastor's job is to renew everybody's minds. And no, the pastor's job is to preach the gospel and empower those people in their spirit so they rise up and speak the Word of God and renew their own minds. 2 Corinthians 3:5 says this, for though that we walk in the flesh, we are not carrying out our warfare according to the flesh and using mere human weapons. For the weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God for the overthrow of destruction of strongholds. Inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God, and we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. What is he saying in a whole is this? Anything that's exalting itself against the knowledge of God. In other words, if you're not walking in love, and that selfishness, or that if it's exalting, you've got to cast it down. Because love wants to arise. Cast it down and bring it into the obedience of Christ, and he will help you to do it if you yield to him. Because the helper, the Holy Ghost, has come to your life to help you. So we can do it. We're more than able. But more than conquerors, the Bible says. So the weapons of your warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty and powerful through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And where's those strongholds? See, people over the years have preached things like, you know, spiritual warfare and this stuff. I mean, listen, you may think this is funny, right? Years ago, people were actually hiring planes and putting war outfits on and big battle boots and getting planes and going up into the heavens to do spiritual warfare. Dumb! There's no distance in the spirit. Right? And spiritual enemy, that's not spirit. Real spiritual warfare is in your mind. That's what it's talking about here. Spiritual warfare in your mind, casting down imaginations and every high thing against the knowledge of Christ. Real spiritual warfare. Listen, the spiritual warfare is against your mind. The wrong thoughts, the wrong thinking will cause you to live a life of defeat. So you have to take captive those thoughts. You, your spirit man, by the Word of God. God deals with those things. When we're in prayer and speaking the Word of God, the angels are loosed by the power of God and deal with those things. There's times for those things. But most of the times, the spiritual warfare that God's talking about, it's actually in your mind. That's what will cause you to rise or fall. You rise or fall with your thoughts that you have in your mind. The feelings and emotions. Our emotions have been given to us by God so that we can express and experience through the humanity and qualities and attributes and blessings of God. They are not born again and therefore open to negative expressions, right? Which we heard again tonight through Tracy. Negative expressions. Well, guess what? We have got to bring those things into subjection and bring what? The expressions of love and the expressions of joy, which is forces that are also in our spirit man. Our feelings are very much controlled by our circumstances, see, and surroundings, and to a degree our thoughts. They too must become dominated by the word of God through our spirit. Acts 4:32 says this, "Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. And neither did any say to any other things he possessed as own, but they all had things in common." Look at the book of Acts. The early church, this is the pattern. They were in one soul and one heart, right? One soul and one heart. In other words, they had the same mentality, the same thinking. Why? Because the gospel was preached under the power and anointing by the apostles, and the gospel was being preached, and it was empowering them to come in line. I mean, we're talking about John the apostle. I'm teaching these things about, beloved, I wish of all things you may prosper, being healthy, even as your soul prospers. These people were, the souls were prospering because the word of God was coming to the light under the anointing of the apostolic anointing, which you have in this church, by the way, an apostolic anointing. The apostolic anointing to bring doctrine to our lives so that our souls could be... And it says the church was powerful. The church was so powerful. They prayed, they worshipped, they prayed on a daily basis, and God added to the church daily as should be saved. Why? Because they were one building the kingdom, spirit, soul, and body. And our emotions, we want to grab this and grab that. Emotions, see, emotions. It's solical. It's selfish, right? It's all about me. I'll take what I can get. I'm not into, you know. Listen, the new creation reality is a giver. The new creation reality, you, the new creation, is a giver, is a blesser. It's not always looking for something to give you, but you are the one who's looking to give other. And how can I bless? And how can I prosper? And how can I help? That's the character of God. And we will never grow beyond that. If we don't step into that realm, we will never grow. We will be babies all of our life. It's not about what people can give to us. It's what can we do. In fact, I think it was John F. Kennedy says, don't ask what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. Don't ask what God... Listen, ask what can you do for the kingdom? What can you do for those around about you? Be a blesser. Be a lover. Be a giver. That's the new creation reality. Selfishness and all those, it's all about me. It just keeps people in bondage. So everyone was exalted and praising God, not one another, for his blessings and his power. And they were blessing one another and helping one another. And the church was growing on a daily basis. They flowed together spiritually. And at one point in time, they had the largest church of the world ever known. They had the largest church that the world had ever known at that point in time because they were operating together, walking in love and doing things for the kingdom of God. They were a people of one heart and one emotion submitted unto the Lord. Colossians 3:22 says, "Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men please, but in sincerity of the heart and fearing God." Listen, when I go to work, and even though I don't like what's going on, whatever, and there may be certain things that you don't like going on, hey, obey. Listen, you're in that job because God's got you there. Do it with the right attitude. Live in the new creation. Live in the love realm. Don't get around the workmates as criticizing and downing the boss and all the rest of it. You know what? That's the carnal nature. Oh, it's went quiet in here. Right? The carnal nature. You see it all the time. You get into jobs and you're working with people and all you want to do is criticize. See, the unrenewed person will always want to criticize. Oh, I can do better. I can do this better. I can do. And then put them in a job and we'll see how better. It's like running a church. You know, I can preach better than that. I can do this job. Put them in for 5 minutes and you'll see what happens. A different ball game when you've actually got the reins of a church. I've run a church. I know what like it is. Right? Different ball when you're sitting under great teachers and apostolic anointings like we did for over the years. It's great and you're sitting, you're in the flow of it. But when you take it on, it's a whole different ball game. Build the church together. Negative attitudes. This is one of the biggest influences in Christian life. Unless we can control our attitudes, we will not see the power of God and demonstration to its maximum potential. emphasis, maximum potential, unless you can control your attitudes, right? Carnal attitudes we're talking about. Of course God will still command. Of course God will still bless. Why? Because God has interested you, right? Even when Tracy was telling you that stuff tonight, God was interested in her so much that he had a man saying, I'm coming around for prayer tonight. See, that's what God's interested in. God's never against you. There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Don't let the devil condemn you when you blow it, even when you yield to the flesh and you've done your pouting and all the rest of it. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. God will never condemn you. He will correct you in love, in grace, and empower your spirit to rise up to overcome it, but he will never condemn you. If you're feeling condemned, it ain't God. So shake it off. Shake it off and take authority over it. I'm not in condemnation. I've pleaded the blood of Jesus Christ. My Father forgives me. And Father, I just thank you for helping me to overcome all these things by the blood of Jesus and the name of Jesus. I rebuke that from my life. Don't let it come on you. Because you start meditating that condemnation stuff, it'll just put you back in a hole. Proverbs 23:7 says, for as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. As you think in your heart, so are you. Right? And that word heart there can be related to the soulical part of man. The soul is the seat of your emotions, people, right? Because you can translate the word heart to be your spirit, and there's other times it's translated to be your soulical man. The soulical man is the seat of your emotions. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So is he. As you think in your heart, as all of those thoughts are going on in your life, you will be you'll be a product of your thought life. That's why it says, and I've just read the scripture, blessed is the man who meditates upon the word of the Lord day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and he'll bear fruit in his season. Why? Because meditation in the word will help you to do that. And if you meditate in the garbage, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You think it, you'll meditate in it, you'll end up speaking it, and you release power in that situation, and the enemy then will bring signs and wonders following. Because he knows how this stuff works, right? But you've got to meditate in the word of God, speak the word of God, so God can release his angels and the Holy Spirit into the situation to change things in your life. How you perceive something is how you will respond to it. For example, if someone receives promotion at work and you feel that you have been given that position, that you should have been given that position, if you have the wrong attitude of mind, you will drag your heels in serving that person, right? Fleshly, carnal. If they've got the promotion, hey, bless them. Thank God. Help them. Help them fulfill that position. See, if you help somebody else fulfill their position, God will look after you. God's looking for maturity. Well, I should have got that. I'm more qualified than him. See, stinking attitude. Ephesians 4:23. God, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and God will exalt you in due season. He's trying to get us to mature. Ephesians 4:23 Amplified says this, and constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, be constantly renewed, say constantly, constantly, constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, so it's going to be constantly, right? Constantly. So I've said this over and over. My wife, every single day, has taken the word over the years, and every day speaks the word of God. She knows these scriptures, and inside out, she speaks, she opens her Bible, and she reads these scriptures every single day to get her mind renewed every single day. Why? It is a constant thing. You've always got to keep your mind and your soul get your soul washed by the word of God. It's a constant thing. Now, is it work to a degree? It's you're doing homework, but the reality is this, it's not really work, right? Because God will get involved with you. When you start speaking the word and you start praising God and thanking God who you are in Christ, all of a sudden the Holy Ghost comes and you start to experience him. So it's not work. You're pressing into God, and God comes by his spirit and encapsulates your very spirit man and washes your mind. And he comes and he starts to interact with you when you take the word of God. So it's not work. If you think it's works, you'll struggle. I'm not talking about works of the law. I'm talking about interacting with who you are in Christ Jesus and who he is to you. He will come. He will come. Because he sees you stepping out in faith and speaking the word of God and Jesus, help me. He will come. He wants to come. He's looking to help you. Okay, we're nearly finished now. Spiritual maturity, a spiritual mature person will have his attitude adjusted constantly by the Holy Spirit because his heart is ruling over his soul. In other words, the more you listen into your heart and into your spirit, man, the more the Holy Spirit will help you adjust your attitudes and keep you in right standing with Him. His motivation is love for God and a servant's heart. God is love and love is God. That has to be the motivation of everything you do in life, is the love of God. 2 Corinthians, last scripture, 8:12 says, for if there is first a willing mind, see, a willing mind is accepted according to what one has and not according to what he does not have. A willing mind. All you need is a willing mind. Lord, I want to bless. Even though you don't have anything, I want to bless. If you have that willing mind, I'll guarantee you, if you have a willing mind, God will bring some into your life that He then will be able to bless through you. But you've got to have a willing mind and a willing attitude. See, I will bless the Lord. I will praise the Lord. It's not, I feel like, I know, I will. Right? I will. You've got to activate your will. I will bless the Lord. I will bless people. I will be a blessing. You've got to will it, because your flesh won't let you do that. Summary, once we are born again spiritually, we will have to work on growing up spiritually, right? That is the work. It's just taking the word, it's homework. This will involve renewing your mind with the word of God and developing a God-conscious mentality. You'll only become God-conscious. Listen, look at me for a second. People say, I want it to be God-conscious. The more word-conscious you become, the more God-conscious you'll become. Oh, wow. The more word-conscious you become, the more God. Why? Because in the beginning was the word. The word is God. The word. There was nothing created that was created unless it was through the word of God. He is His living word. He is the living word. So the more word conscious you become, the more God conscious you become. This will involve renewing your mind with the word of God and developing a God conscious mentality. We grow through different stages of spiritual growth, and each of them have various characteristics. Amen. We'll close there. Hallelujah.